Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio. CliffCentral.com.
All right, leadership in education on Cliff Central. I'm Adrian Groenewald, with me Louis Groenewald, and we're going to talk education, leadership in education, with our very special guests. We have from Bridge Projects, we've got Simongile Kumalo in the studio. Welcome again.
Thank you, Adrian.
It's good to have you with us, and Gordon Cooper, who's an expert on lots of things. In fact, I've known him since very young. In South Africa, when you talk personal security and bully prevention, the name of Gordon Cooper comes up without any doubt. Okay, and you know, we did karate together. That's why I was never bullied, Gordon, I guess, and you
never
bullied, although I was a quiet little guy. And then there's Louis Groenewald there in the corner of the studio. So if you're joining us live, please ask questions. Be with us the next half hour. We want to look at when you look at principles, eventually the last question will be, how should a principal or a leader from a school? And I know bullying is big all over the world, in America, any place. I mean, you even do work in America, Gordon. So we're going to look at the impact of bullying and eventually get to the question, what should a principal or leadership of a school do to eradicate it or to make sure it doesn't happen? So stay with us. We're going to record, get involved, and send some questions if you have any. Anything on the education front, Sibongile, that you want to tell us about before we get into this important topic?
Yes, Adrian. Excitingly, the MEC opened the first school of specialization this morning, and that's in Soweto. It's called the Curtis Nkondo School of Specialization. This is within the GED's plans of opening 25 schools of specialization.
About what? Specialization?
This is specialization in scarce skills areas,
technical,
so entrepreneurship, engineering, the arts, and it's really just to address skills shortages in the country and to nurture talent. So this is the first one that's opened.
All right, fantastic. Well, I mean, with all the challenges the MEC faces, there are some good things coming through. The man is very busy and trying to, I think, lead the way in many respects. But when you do that, you run into resistance and opposition. Mm-hmm. All right, today, bullying in schools. That's what we're going to talk about with Gordon Cooper. But we might, if we have time, we may not have time, but it would be good. We might have the testimony of a principal that's been through this, right?
Excellent, yes. All we've arranged Corinda to speak with you, and I think she's happy to explain how it works.
So if we're going to do it towards the end, we must just get our timing right.
Good.
At about 10 to. But if we're really heating up with our conversation, we may not do it now, but do it next time. But let's try. All right, what is bullying, Gordon? I mean, how do we define it?
Okay, I think, Adrian, to start, so many schools have definitions. People talk about physical bullying and about verbal bullying, which we're all familiar with. But in reality, it's a lot more. Some people even use the term sexual bullying or emotional bullying or social bullying, etc. But we found that what you do with one kid may be offensive, and if you do the same thing with another, that kid is totally happy and handles it fine. So what we found is the best definition really is what makes you uncomfortable and what do you find offensive. So if what I'm doing to you, if I tackle one boy in the playground, he may be upset. The other guy thinks it's a game. So at the end of the day, what makes you uncomfortable? What do you find offensive? Once you've discovered that, that's bullying the moment you cross that line.
It's difficult in a very connected society. I mean, let's be honest. If I have a very low self-esteem, I'm not just talking school bullying now. If I have a really low self-image of who I am, then almost anything, I'm offended by almost anything. And then I can say, oh, I'm being bullied. So it's a fine balance there, surely. And again, you have, as you say, one child. If you had to have a child that feels I'm being bullied and then goes and reports it, and then the teachers do homework and they interview one or two other children to see whether that child was bullied. And then they go, what? No, it was a game.
Sure.
Because that's that child's perception.
That's right.
But if that child felt the same way as that child that was bullied, then they'll say, yeah, there was bullying going on.
Yes.
Okay, but you see that, so it's a challenge.
Sure, and this is a challenge that the teachers are trying to deal with, because the parent comes and says, my kid's getting bullied, and they're saying, yeah, but all the kids are playing rough like that and doing this with each other. So we just found at the end of the day, if a kid stands up and says, listen, I'm not comfortable with this, this is hurting me in some way or whatever it is, then and we continue to do what we're doing, that's where we're crossing the line.
Okay, Sibongile, is bullying a problem in South Africa? We often see it on American TV and all over the world probably, but Americans are equal television, so we obviously see a lot of things on the western side of the world. But in our country, is it a real issue? It seems in the church, not in our church so much, but in the school where our kids are, that it is something happening.
Definitely still a problem in South African schools, Jen. We had this conversation in our Teachers Upfront seminars last year, generally about bullying. But, you know, they found that there's four people involved in bullying. So it's the bully, the victim, the bystander, as well as the teacher. And I imagine if it happens in a home situation, the teacher becomes the parent. But I wanted to ask exactly that question. So the violence on TV that people are, that kids are exposed to, the internet, the phones, what is the role of the parent in the household in ensuring that the child does not become a victim or a bully?
Well, I think to answer that correctly, we need to understand that bullying comes from fear. That's the bottom line. The old samurai had a saying where they said, fear is the father of all demons. And we live in a fear-based society. So if we look at what's happening in the media, we look at what happens economically, any uncertainties, political instabilities, social vices like divorce, all these things create this fear-based society. And the moment we have fear, we have two options. We become the hunter or the hunted, passive or aggressive options. And the great majority of kids become passive and they project this message of fear, which immediately attracts negative attention. The bully, on the other hand, is the kid that got so sick and tired of being the sheep that he begins to masquerade as the wolf. And but what drives him is still that same fear that drives the victim. Mm-hmm. And so as parents and educators, that we need to understand that's the source of this. There's a personal insecurity that if unresolved, we cannot resolve this issue any other way besides dealing with that.
So if you find a bully on the playground, it's clearly a bully, and you go to the parents and you tell them and you report it, it's not necessarily going to stop unless you go to the essence and the source of that child's situation.
That's right.
Or the child himself. Okay, strange question. Is bullying good or bad thing?
Okay, great question. I've lost many clients when they phone me and say to me, my kid's being bullied, and I tell them how amazing, how wonderful, this is a great thing. Of course, it's bad, but it's good in the sense that is being overweight bad? Is having a little bit of money bad? All these things are simply a message to us and motivation to change. So when we see a kid getting bullied, for me, this is revealing something. Why are they picking on him and not somebody else? And the message is simple. There's something wrong, and this is an opportunity to fix the problem, because if we don't fix the problem at school, it goes to high school, and then when they go study further, and then into their professional lives and their social lives, etc., and they live with this victim mentality. Bullying says there's a problem, and it motivates us to fix it. So in that sense, it's a good thing. It's like, if I'm overweight and you come to me and say, look, you know, you lack discipline, you eat too many chocolates, whatever it is, there's something to learn from that consequence. Mm.
Okay, so that's another way of looking at it. And the truth is, if I'm a bully, I'm not a psychologist, although I studied it, yes, but if I'm a bully and I bully kids on the playground and I'm not confronted, or I'm one being bullied, rather, if it's not dealt with properly, what are the chances that somewhere when I suddenly grow up and suddenly maybe I become a big boy a few years later in grade 8 or grade 10, I then become the bully?
Sure.
Does that happen? Is that very much so. So it's not confronted correctly.
Sure.
I then think, well, it's either I'm the hunter or the hunted.
Sure.
And I jump all the way from being the hunted to being the hunter because no one changed my perception. And then, as you rightfully say, I think if you can change that kid in a healthy way,
sure,
they could go on to do great things.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, what can bully victims and their families do? Let's look at that.
Maybe I could share a simple formula. I go into many homes and then the parent is crying and the kid's running around playing, because this affects parents far worse than it actually affects the kids. And then I'll say to the kid, look, do me a favor and walk for me from the corner of the room to the other corner, and I'll ask the parent to watch as if they were a fellow student. When the kid's finished walking, I say to the parent, now, if you were a student, what would you do? And they start laughing. And I say, why? Because I'd bully him. You know, and so when we talk about a formula to resolve bullying, we call it the ABCs: awareness, boundaries, and consequence. Awareness means that we need that kid to understand that the way he walks, the way he talks, the way he interacts is negative. He shows a lot of fear. People look at that and they go, wow, let me bully this guy because he looks like a victim. So the first thing you got to change is your demeanor, is this what you present, which is really, again, a self-development issue. But we can change body language, we can change our facial expression, we can walk different, and that's where we solve the problem in the beginning.
So the awareness is for the child to be aware, for the parents to be aware, for everyone to be aware of demeanor.
Sure.
What you project
exactly
in your body language.
Exactly.
The truth is that we tend to want to treat the bullies and reprimand the discipline. And what we're saying, you're not stopping the bullying. you must treat, first of all, the actual victim.
Well, you've got to probably get there somehow, but yes, go to the victim and turn it into a positive.
Yeah.
Sure. And then, of course, once we go from presenting a different message, really shedding that victim mentality, we move to the B, which is boundary setting. Boundary setting is simple. When someone does something I don't like, I need to be able to draw a line. And I remember in the old days at school, if someone was bullying you, eventually you got to a point where on the playground you drew a line in the sand.
A real line. So step over that line, boy.
And then I'm going to nuke you.
Yeah.
And, you know, in those days, if the guy stepped over the line and you didn't do something, and you step back and say, just joking, here's the real line, then suddenly everybody is bullying you, you know. So you've got to draw a line, because if you don't, people don't always understand that what they're doing is offensive.
Mm.
And then, of course, if people step over the line, we get to the C part, which is consequence. And there's always a big debate around the world about what is good consequence-wise. Do you nuke the guy? Do you go to the teacher? Do you take this further? But we have to define there what we're going to do. And if someone keeps treading on holy ground with his muddy shoes, we have to have some form of consequence. Something has to happen.
Okay, and that's situation-based. So
sure.
The consequence, you would look into the specific child's bullying scenario before you
that's
decide,
right.
Okay, you need to nuke him.
Sure.
Before you decide,
sure.
You've got to go to the teacher. Or before you decide, you just have to stand your ground and say, you stop doing this.
That's right.
I don't like what you're doing.
Right.
I don't like how you do it to others.
Sure.
Stop it.
That's right.
And in some cases, that might just get the bully to back off. In other cases, you'll go, what the heck, you know?
Yeah. And we found that in most cases, when someone has got serious and they draw a firm line, that the bullying stops and they become friends. But if it doesn't and someone steps over and there's a consequence, that also gets the person questioning and starts to change people.
Okay, we're heading to what you do in a school, what the leadership can do. We'll get there in a moment. But boundary setting. Give me some example of a child. Now he's aware of it or she's aware of it. Mostly boys and girls, of course.
It's worse amongst girls these days than amongst the boys.
Really?
Yeah.
So I thought you might say that. So
yeah.
So I'm aware of it. Give me practical examples of what you tell kids about setting boundaries.
Okay. Boundary, we all set them. We put up a wall around our house. That's a boundary. The moment someone starts to be offensive and abusive, you'll notice that they always get closer. They want to get close enough to push you. They're always trying to close the gap. Boundaries are about keeping space. And there's things we do with our body. The greatest way to create space is not verbally, but to actually do it through nonverbal communication, which is over 90% of communication. So we do it by the way we hold our bodies. If you're standing in a queue at Pick and Pay and someone stands right behind you, all you do is turn around and the person immediately, because you're facing them, makes space.
Mm.
So just facing the bully, and you can't stand like a girl. You've got to put your feet shoulder width apart, not legs together, and look them straight in the eye. And if need be, you can pick up your two hands in that stop position and look the person right in the eye. And just that posture backs people off.
Okay, if you're watching through Periscope right now, then you'd see what Gordon's actually saying. If you're just listening, it's a different ballgame. But yeah, it's actually lifting your hands and opening them and,
sure.
and showing stop.
And that's almost like a speed cop would do when he shows you to stop. So the hands must be up, not in some kind of karate position or in a I give up, hands up position, but it's got to be in a stop position.
You're not coming saying stop.
Sure. Because then I'm going to escalate things.
Yes.
And then just obviously just look him right in the eye. It's amazing how a small kid can back off a big kid by looking him in the eye, and then at that point the first one to look away loses. You just look at him, and we find that body language creates space. And then of course I can tell someone in a nice tone, I can say, hey, just back off, what you're doing makes me uncomfortable, stop.
Okay, now we can spend much more time here, but parents, the involvement of parents. So we find out my child's being bullied, do I run to the school? I mean, for me Adrian Groenewald, you know, you've got fight, flight, freeze. I'm a fight.
Sure.
So
sure.
If someone was bullying my child, I'd want to run out there, speak to the parents, confront them, talk to the headmaster. You know, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
What's the right action of a parent?
The right action is to empower your kid.
That's it.
Because,
focus back on the child.
Sure. Because he's got to solve that problem, because this is a problem he's going to carry his whole life. And I promise you, the headmasters, today our hands are tied. There's so little that we can do. We do not find joy in that kind of solution. I have all the empathy in the world for them. At the end of the day, that kid has to shed that victim mentality, and that's where the right kind of training is critical.
All right, Simongile, any comments? And Louis, before we move on, I want to ask you, cyberbullying, that's becoming bigger
yes,
and bigger,
sir.
Where kids bully each other in the cyberspace.
Yes.
There's distance. How do you close that distance? Although maybe that's a show on its own. And then we look at schools. You've got a model there. And if we have time, we talk to a principal that's gone through this. So any comments?
Yeah, I had precisely the same thing to say, that we can deal with the physical bullying, what happens on the school grounds. And, you know, the action that you just demonstrated now about stopping a physical kind kind of bullying, or you can shut somebody up, but on the internet you cannot. And I think cyberbullying is on the rise, and it's about how we deal with that and how we empower kids to deal with cyberbullying that I think is important.
And the truth is, Gordon, you even go much deeper in terms of helping a child physically handle bullying, shoot the boundaries, but that's another conversation. There are times when, even as human beings, if you're being attacked, you're being bullied. It's an escalated,
it's a predatory action.
Exactly. And so you run these incredible programs where you dress yourself up in incredible padding, and you have people beat you to pieces, but just beyond death, and they actually get it out of them. It's a wonderful program. Louis, a quick comment?
The empowering your kids approach is so important, because you don't just empower them to overcome a temporary problem. It's empowering for life.
That's right.
Because what Gordon does, he has a whole psychological aspect to it as well. So mental preparation creates so much confidence. In our case, Arjun, you know, our three boys all took karate right throughout the year with Gordon and his brother, and they had black belts. So they never had a physical fight at school. Because it wasn't about the self-defense, it was personal attitude.
What I did now and then, it's also a personality type. I was the cautious one.
They just weren't afraid of it, and their attitude, therefore they were empowered. Mm. But there are many ways of doing it.
It is then the way you carry yourself. It's so true. I mean, I was the quietest guy. I hardly had friends. I blossomed after school. But no one ever tried to bully me. I guess, firstly, they know you do karate. Secondly, it's the way you carry yourself. Certain the way
and
you walk.
And thirdly, the way you look. You look scary.
The way you look. Yeah. I didn't look this way in high school and primary school.
It applies very much to girls as well, not so.
Yeah.
If they're confident, then...
Okay. So we're laughing a lot. Obviously, we know this is a really serious thing. If you're parents with... But again, back to it, it's a great opportunity to help your child turn it around, because we all need that something that instigates change. That's something that triggers it. And that's an obvious one. Where I'm being bullied, it's come out, we're all aware of it, let's go for it. Cyberbullying.
Okay. This is a typical situation where the law prevention is better than cure applies. And the way we prevent it is, in fact, we can stop more than 95% of cyberbullying by doing this, is to only invite close friends and family. But we tend to have this thing these days where our self-image is related to how many friends we have on Facebook. And accepting anybody is where the whole problem begins. So you only have close friends and family. I mean, my father always said to me, if a man dies one day and he's got two real friends who he can rely on, then he's wealthy, he's got something great. So when someone comes to me and says, I've got 5,000 friends, that kind of worries me a little, you know. So that's the first thing. We've got to watch who we put on. And then, of course, the cure aspect. If something's going wrong, there's three steps. Number one, keep everything. If you're being cyberbullied, keep everything that happens. First key.
Save it somewhere.
A little folder, John, and put it all in there.
The bully,
And then, of course, never react aggressive. Because the moment we become aggressive, we escalate it. So if I walk past the yard, the dog is sleeping calmly, and I pick up a brick, the dog's going to get aggressive. The minute I become aggressive, I escalate rather than de-escalate the situation. Thirdly, never be passive. Do something. And the question people ask is, what do you do? And what I'm going to say is very simple and yet it's very powerful. Firstly, block them. Every social media means these days has a way to be able to block people. If that doesn't work, change your account, change your cell phone, change your email address. And if it persists after that, then we report it. And we report it to the level that we need to stop it. So I can report it to my parents. I can report it to the school. If that doesn't help, we can, and most people aren't aware of this, we can report this to service providers who are then able to deal with that situation. Or we can take it to the police.
Okay.
There's the formula.
All right. You have a 5-point plan?
Sure.
For schools?
Yep.
How to deal with bullying. So principals out there, and we'll make sure we spread this far and wide. You all have bullying in your school. Surely, Sibongile. I mean, any principal says, no, none of this in my school, is probably ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
You have some of it, hopefully not a lot. So listen very carefully. A 5-point plan, how you have helped schools.
Now, I've kind of stumbled on this plan. I did a lot of training overseas, and then I started introducing it to schools locally, and we found a great formula. We've worked with some of the toughest schools, not just in South Africa, but in the world. We don't reduce bullying by 50% or 75%. We stop bullying through the formula. I'll share with you basically what it is. First part is you've got to train the staff in the principles of personal security. The moment staff are trained, two things happen. You turn the sheep into a wolf, and I'm not talking physically, I'm talking psychologically. You're creating this mindset, this confidence in staff. And the moment I sit in a class as a kid and I see that my educator is assertive, straight away I'm in my place, I'm less likely to misbehave. It's like having an assertive parent. So the moment we train educators in personal security, they become stronger in their confidence. Also, they start to understand predation and this victim mentality a lot better. So they're able to deal with it because our staff aren't trained to deal with this. They're trained to educate. Now they've got to deal with this bullying problem, which is the biggest non-education problem, in fact, worldwide at schools. So first, we train the staff. Second thing...
And really, teachers, educators are... Sure. Leaders in a classroom.
Exactly.
So, and they don't often see themselves as a leader first. They see themselves as a teacher or an educator. Mm-hmm. But if you see that, that's part of the whole package of saying I'm a leader first. So when I'm in this classroom, I'm teaching these kids to lead.
It's exactly.
More than just how to do English or math. Okay?
Sure. Second point. And you know, attitudes are contagious. So an assertive teacher with confidence, that has a massive effect more than anything they can say. Second thing we do is we educate kids and the parents. So we go in and we do workshops for the kiddies. We talk to them about bullying. We talk about awareness, about preventing it through the message that they give, and then boundary setting and consequences. So we teach them the basic formula, and we teach kids to protect each other, because if I'm on the playground and my friend's getting bullied, And I stand with him. Suddenly, there's two against one. Bully is driven by fear, so they start to back off. So we just educate kids on this concept of bullying. So everyone's aware that it's an issue, and they know what to do.
So even the bully is educated.
Everybody.
There. Okay.
Then the third thing that we do is we come in and we put something on your website. I think it's critical to have resources on the school website for bullying, so that educators, that parents, that the kids themselves, the community can go into that and find different solutions. Fourth thing is you have to have a system. And we call it a three strikes and you're out system. So we've introduced this at schools. If Corinda gets a chance to speak now, she'll tell how effective this has been. But first strike, first time you're caught bullying, maybe you wear a t-shirt or a cap that identifies you as a bully. You clean the playground every day for a week and a letter gets sent to your parents. Second time you do this, you maybe do that for 2 weeks, and this time your parents are called in. Third time you're out. And a lot of people say to me, but that's real harsh. But I know a school here in Pretoria, where this wasn't done, and where in 1 week, 5 kids left the school because of one guy, one bully. So, you know, in my opinion, the bully learned nothing and the good kids have gone. So at the end of the day, to have a system and the kid knows third time I'm gone, the system begins to manage it.
Excellent. Is there a fifth point?
Fifth point is just get a professional involved if you need to. You know, someone who can consult with you and say, okay, this is a bad case. We can help you this way.
All right.
That helps.
Now, I hope we don't damage the relationship with Corinna, the principal. We'll get her on somewhere.
Sure.
In terms of the success, because our time is up. But that was brilliant. Sibongile and Louis, very quickly, summary. Gordon Cooper speaking to us as an expert on bullying and personal security. In fact, final comments. We've got to close up.
Looking back over 75 years, I didn't be involved from society. Traditionally was very physical, and the big rugby play guys kind of dominate, etc. And we didn't play rugby, you're in trouble. And all these years, I find everything you've said, Gordon, makes perfect sense to me. It's spiritually sound and it's practical, and I think it can really change attitudes. Thanks.
Sure.
Definitely. Thanks, Gordon. I think there's been many ways that people have said we can avoid bullying and we can avoid the victim mentality in our schools. But I think your 5 steps are really key. Thank you for that.
Great.
Final comment, Gordon, to parents, to principals out there.
Sure.
I think you said it a lot.
Well, I think something critical maybe to summarize is that, you know, we'll talk about fighting crime. This is where we fight it. The moment we start to solve this predator, this hunter, hunted syndrome at school, and we teach the hunter he can't get away with it, and we teach the hunted to stand up for himself and to not be a victim, we can reduce crime tremendously. This is where it starts.
Very, very powerful point. That's Leadership and Education. Thank you so much, Gordon Cooper and Sibongile from Bridge Project, coming through, and Louis Groenewald. That was a fantastic show. We look forward to being with you again next week, and we will talk about leadership and education again. Stay with us. Join us next week.
The Leadership Platform was brought to you by Sibanye Gold, a proudly South African mining company. This is CliffCentral.com.